Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Shabbos is Daf Kuf Mem Tes. We started yesterday, the 23rd Perek of Shabbos, and the topic has been, from the beginning of the Perek, doing business on Shabbos, which is acceptable. Meaning, in general, there's an issue of the Rabbanon of doing any type of Mekach or Memkar on Shabbos. You can't do business on Shabbos. The basic reason why not is that you're going to write down any type of transaction you're going to want to record as an account receivable, as an account payable. So you can't conduct business on Shabbos as an instrument of Rabbanon. However, going over to your neighbor, asking your neighbor for some wine, for some oil, for some sugar, for some eggs, for some loaves of bread, so the Mishnah says that's fine. And even though that would constitute a loan, because the understanding is that you're going to borrow, but of course you're going to pay back, so that would be fine. The only stipulation that the Mishnah makes is that when you use the terminology, you have to say specifically, I would like to borrow and I would like to loan. Even though the understanding, of course, that borrow here means that I'm going to pay it back, but still, though, you got to be careful about the word that you use. You have to say borrow, not loan. And as the Gemara explained yesterday, the reason being is that once you're now limited to what you can say, and you can only say, I want to borrow something, so the understanding, of course, is that you're not going to come write it down. You understand that today's Shabbos, and even though a loan has been, in fact, incurred, but nevertheless, though, no one's going to be writing anything down. Okay, and the reason why it's allowed, obviously, I mean, made this point yesterday, but let's make it again, is that it's our next Shabbos, meaning that in general, the transaction of business on Shabbos is forbidden, but that's midrabbanan. And if it's for the purposes of our next Shabbos, so the rabbis waived, and the rabbis allowed transactions to occur on Shabbos or on Yontov for Shabbos and for Yontov for the enjoyment of Shabbos and Yontov. Okay, good, that's the basics. One of the last things that we discussed yesterday was, if I borrow commodity and I pay back in commodity, so isn't that a form of ribis? In other words, that's what's called sa'a bisa'a, where there's a chance that because of fluctuation of price, I'm going to give you back more than what I actually borrowed in terms of value, and so that would constitute an additional payment in terms of that which I borrowed, and that would be ribis. So the Gemara said yesterday a couple of things. First of all, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say this, but first of all, there is a debate whether or not sa'a b'sa'a applies to small commodities. So you could just simply argue and say that it doesn't apply over here because we're talking about small commodities. Or what the Gemara pointed out yesterday is what you could also say is that we're talking about in a city where there's a fixed price where commodities were actually set. Oil, wine, bread had a set fixed price, and so therefore when I borrowed the bread, I knew exactly how much I was borrowing in value, and so when I pay you back, I'm going to pay you back that exact amount. And if that's a situation, so then it's not a problem. You won't violate the Isser of Ribis. Okay, that's all summary of what we've done up until now. We continue on the Gemara. We're on Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis, and we are we're up to the V'im Eino Ma'amino. Okay, right in the middle of the Amud, it's three lines before the lines become wide. The Gemara starts off, Idmar Havas Yom Tov, Rav Yosef Amar Lo Nidna Li Tava, Rav Amar Nidna Li Tava. Okay, you made a loan on Yontov, right? A permissible loan on Yontov. And now you go back to the person that you lent to, and you said, okay, after Yontov, of course. And you say, you know, I gave you a dozen eggs. I'm looking forward to you paying me back. And he gets a little difficult. So now, can I take him to Beis Din? So machlokus between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba's of the opinion that you could take him to Beis Din if he doesn't pay you back, meaning it's a loan, it's a regular loan, collectible, and if necessary, enforceable by Beis Din. And Rav Yosef says no, not collectible, not enforceable. Now the Gemara goes over first of all svaro, meaning what are they? What's behind this machlokus? Rav Yosef amar lo nina litava di amar nina litava asle mechtav. So Rav Yosef is worried about the following. Let's say it is an enforceable loan. If it's an enforceable loan, so what's going to happen at the origination of the loan? I'm going to want to write it down. Meaning because I'm going to now, if I can take him to Beis Din after Yontov, so I'm going to want to make sure, wait a second, hold on a second, you take your pen out and you start writing. And obviously the whole point of not doing business transactions on Shabbos and Yontov is for fear that he's going to write. And if loans on Yontov, which are permitted, are enforceable, I'm going to write. So Rav Yosef says that's why it's not enforceable. And Rabba Amar Nitna Litava, and Rabba disagrees. Di Amar Lo Nitna Lo Yahiv Leva Asi Olam Nuim Misimchas Yontov. On the other hand, Rabba's worried about people not lending to begin with, because they're going to say to themselves, All right. Oh no! If I can't take him to court, I'm not going to lend to begin with, and so therefore there's a lack of confidence on the part of the creditor that the borrower is not going to pay back. Well, if the borrower is not going to pay back, I'm not going to lend money. And we see time and again throughout Shas, you'll see a lot of this in Bava Metzia, where basically the Chachamim allowed certain things in order to stimulate lending and to stimulate the economy. So here. Because we want to stimulate lending, so basically we're going to tell the creditor, don't worry, it's enforceable by Beis Din. Now, obviously, Rabbah's worried that you may come to write it down, but that concern is not as great as the concern that the creditor won't lend to begin with. So therefore, it's enforceable. Yeah, a good point. I'm curious why the Gemara just jumped to Yontif and why the Gemara doesn't... There's more, right, there's more lending... That's possible. It's possible. It's an interesting point. I don't know. I don't know why the Gemara just shifted right to Yontif. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're learning Masechta Shabbos right now. The Mishnah was in the context of Shabbos. So I don't know why we made that shift. That's a very good point. Tanani, Menu Ma'amina Maniach Taliso Etzlo. Okay, so let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Now, sorry. Our Mishnah gave a solution of what if there's a lack of confidence. So what did the Mishnah say? I'll tell you what you do. You take a collateral. So in other words, so you're lending some eggs, you're lending some wine. Okay, so you take collateral, and then obviously he's going to come back to you after Shabbos. He's going to want his collateral back. Now, so if you're Rav Yosef, the Mishnah makes perfect sense. Because obviously, if this were a collectible loan, why would you be taking collateral? You just go to Beis Din right afterwards. It must be that it's a non-collectible loan, meaning non-enforceable loan. You can't go to Beis Din, and that's why the Mishnah's only solution for the creditor to make sure that he gets back his loan is by taking collateral.
L.I.E.
Huh? Yeah, I know. We're jumping back and forth. But according to Rabbah, why are you taking collateral? Not necessary. Just go after Shabbos, after Yontif. If he doesn't want to pay you back, good. We'll go to court. So I'm a lokava delekum bedina v'dayana. But there, Rabbah will answer very simply. Oh, look. It is an enforceable loan. We can go to Beis Din after Yontif or after Shabbos. Who wants to go to Beis Din? All right, Beis Din is a process, and
time.
It doesn't always work. You may be right, and Beis Din may not. There are so many variables about going to Beis Din. So, how about this? Just give me collateral, and I'll lend you whatever you want to lend you, and it's a much easier way, smoother way to conduct a loan. Meisa Ravidi Baravin. So, okay. So right now we're in the middle of machlokas between Rabban and Rav Yosef. The question on the table is a very simple one. We know that you can lend on Shabbos and Yontif. If you want to, we know you can collateralize a loan on Shabbos or on Yontif. And the only issue now is it an enforceable loan? Can I take him to Beis Din after Shabbos, after Yontif, in order to collect my loan? It's machlokas between Rabban and Rav Yosef. And now we turn to a Mishnah in Shviyas. Okay, this I think is the 10th parak of Shviyas, right? Am I correct? Yeah, correct. So the 10th parak of Shviyas, and the Mishnah over here discusses the following. Now, some ground rules before we do the Mishnah in Shviyas, and that is the following. That all loans are going to be canceled at the end of the Shemitah year. So in other words, we are on the eve of the Shemitah year, right? If I'm right, this year is the sixth year of the Shemitah year. So that means next year is Shemitah, right? Confirmation, I'm correct? Okay, maybe. Assuming next year is a Shemitah year, so that means that when Rosh Hashanah comes around, our next Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be entering into a Shemitah year, and at that point in time, loans are still in force. Then, two Rosh Hashanahs from now, that will be the end of the Shemitah year, meaning at the actual day of Rosh Hashanah now, let's be even more specific, the last day of Elul will be the last day of that Shemitah year. That is exactly so. When the sun sets then, and now Rosh Hashanah comes around, the first day of Tishrei comes around, all loans are canceled. It's exactly at that point in time. Okay. The Mishnah over here is going to be describing the following scenario, and that is a loan is made on Rosh Hashanah after the Shemitah year. Okay, so we're right on the border between when loans are canceled and when loans are not canceled. Now let's think this through just a little bit before we see the Mishnah inside. Meaning, if Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is the first day of Tishrei, so when was the loan originated? origination of loan was after. Right? In other words, Shemitah cancels loans, but loans that are created any time before Rosh Hashanah. If the loan is originated on Rosh Hashanah itself, I'm talking about the Rosh Hashanah after the seventh year, meaning the Rosh Hashanah that starts year one of the Shemitah cycle. If the loan was originated on Rosh Hashanah, so it's a loan. It's a collectible loan. If the loan was made any time before Rosh Hashanah, so then obviously when the sun sets on Rosh Hashanah, so the loan will be canceled. So if we're talking about the loan created on Rosh Hashanah itself, which is what the Mishnah is talking about, so then there should be no cancellation of the loan. There's one other variable that makes this a little bit complex. It's very interesting, but makes it a little bit complex. And that is the following. First day of Rosh Hashanah. Is that Rosh Hashanah? So look, here's what happens. Now, we have a calendar, so for us, all this discussion now becomes slightly academic because we have a calendar, we work with a fixed calendar, so we know when Rosh Hashanah comes around. But in the good old days, when the month was determined, witnesses come and testify, they saw the new month, so then Rosh Chodesh, and in this case, Rosh Chodesh being Rosh Hashanah, is going to be determined by the witnesses coming and testifying. And now, what used to be is that as we end Elul, so really at the end of Elul, we have two candidates for what day could be Rosh Hashanah. It either could be the 30th day of Elul, that could be Rosh Hashanah, or the 31st day of Elul could be Rosh Hashanah, meaning the 30th day will just simply turn into Rosh Hashanah, or the 31st day could turn into Rosh Hashanah. Now on a regular Rosh Chodesh, whatever, meaning it's Rosh Chodesh. There's no Issur Malach on a regular Rosh Chodesh, so we'll figure it out. Meaning one of those days will become Rosh Chodesh. But on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh obviously makes all the difference in the world because it is a Yontif. So what used to happen was the following. As we went into the 30th day of Elul, so we treated that day as Rosh Hashanah. And most of the time, it actually turned into Rosh Hashanah. Right? The Gemara tells us that most of the time Elul was a Chaser. So that most of the time, that first day which we treat as Rosh Hashanah is in fact Rosh Hashanah. But sometimes Edom don't come. And so therefore what happens is that 30th day of Elul actually remains the 30th day of Elul, even though we treated it like Rosh Hashanah. But truth be told, is that really it's the 30th day of Elul, and then the 31st day of Elul now actually will be Rosh Chodesh slash Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I hope all that was clear. So now, here's where it gets interesting. The loan came on what we call the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, that could be Rosh Hashanah, but maybe it just ends up being the 30th day of Elul. Okay. So, this is what the Mishnah in Shavuos is dealing with. Let's see all this inside.
Financial transaction on that day.
Well, you're making a financial transaction because Simchas Yontif. I mean, we're buying an animal. And I'm going to let you cut into the animal, but obviously you'll pay me back. Mishnah says, an animal, and you divide it on Rosh Hashanah. So in other words, you're apportioning the animal on Rosh Hashanah, obviously. Every person you're giving a piece to, the assumption of course is he's going to pay you back. Now if Elul turns into literally a pregnant month, which means Elul now is 30 full days, and even though we call today Rosh Hashanah, but the truth of the matter is that the Edom didn't come, and so today really is the 30th day. What does that make tonight? Makes tonight now the first day of Tishrei. That now means this loan that was just incurred is going to be canceled. Right? Best loan in the world. Where right the night after the loan, it's canceled. So Mishamet, says the Mishnah in Shavuos, loan is canceled. However, if it's not a Chodesh Me'ubar, meaning Elul is not 30 days, but Elul is rather 29 days, meaning that today that we made the loan is actually the first day of Tishrei. It is now post-Shemitah. It's a totally new loan. So Shemitah is Ein HaMeshameh. Okay, that is a Mishnah in Shavuos. Now, it took us a while to learn that Mishnah in Shavuos, but the point has been made, which is that we see, very simply, we have here a case of a loan incurred on Rosh Hashanah. The Elo Nitna Litava my Mishamate. So the Gemara now has a very simple question. Now, the let's assume like Rava. It's a non-enforceable loan. Well, if it's a non-enforceable loan, so what's the point the Mishnah is trying to make when the Mishnah says, don't worry, the loan is canceled? It's not enforceable. So to which the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Diglai Milsa Dechol. So the Gemara says, oh, but it's different over here. Because what comes out now, remember the first case in the Mishnah is where it turned out that Elul was a full month. Well, if Elul is a full month, so the loan was incurred on the 30th day of Elul. So what is that? We treated it like Rosh Hashanah, but truth be told, it was really the last day of Elul. It's a Yom Chol. So that's why it now becomes an enforceable loan. And that's why the Mishnah has to say, it's Mishumat. The loan now is canceled. So Tashma Misefa, the Gemara says, okay, let's go to the next part of the Mishnah. Im Lavin Mishamit. Next part of the Mishnah says that if today is the first day of Tishrei, it's not Mishamit. Iyamar Bishlam Anit Nalitava. Now, if you hold that it's an enforceable loan, collectible and based in Hainit Ditani, in a Mishamit, then you understand the part of the Mishnah which says, in a Mishamit. Ela Iyamar Lo Nit Nalitava, Amay in a Mishamit. But if it's a non-enforceable, non-collectible loan, what's the point of the Mishnah saying, Eino Mishamit? Diyayiv Le Shakil. So the Gemara says, well, the point is that, look, it's not enforceable, but it's still a loan. Yeah. He's, in other words, he comes back and he says, here, let me pay you back for the loan. Yeah. What am I going to say? No, thank you? Meaning, thank you. But the Gemara says, okay, but go back to the Reisha. The Reisha says that if he gives it to you, you don't take it? What do you mean you don't take it? So Reisha tzarech lemeimer le mishamet ani. Sefer lo tzarech lemeimer le mishamet ani. Big difference. Because even when Shemitah forgives a loan, you the creditor, still have to say to the borrower, look, Shemitah was mishamet the loan. You have to verbally declare, even though it's a very interesting halacha, even though Shemitah comes and cancels the loan, you the lender still have to go to the borrower and say, I am mishamet the loan. How do we know this? The Gemara says, Kedinan amach zirchov b'shvias yom alo, mishamet ani. If a loan is to be returned. Now, literally the Mishnah means in the Shemitah year, but it can't mean in the Shemitah year because the loan is not canceled in the Shemitah year. So Rashi explains, not here, Rashi explains that Bashvias means when Shemitah applies. So, we derive from the pasuk devar from the word dibor, meaning that you, the lender, have to say to the creditor, look, Shemitah came and went, the loan is now canceled, I canceled the loan. So Rav Av Yishalka Mashkona, I'm sorry, before I get to those points. Okay? So basically now, we learned the Mishnah in Shvius. It's a very interesting Mishnah in Shvius, but when all said and done, the Mishnah does not necessarily speak neither to the position of Rabbah, nor to the position of Rav Yosef. So in other words, the Machlok is still intact. Are loans made on Yontif and on Shabbos collectible and enforceable, and can I take the person to base in order to collect back my loan? So it remains a Machlok between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Just give me one moment. Who does the halacha follow like? So Tosfos points out over here, the halacha falls like Rava. The halacha falls like Rava over Rav Yosef. So that means that these loans are, in fact, collectible, and you can take the person to Beis Din. Just give me one moment. I'll pause for questions. If so, so the Gemara says, Rav Av Yishalka Mashkona, and Rabbah Bar Ula Ma'arim I'Arume. So the Gemara tells us the practice of two Amoraim. One Amor was Rav Avia, and he would take a collateral. So in other words, when a loan was incurred on Yontif, what he would do is collateralize the loan, so that way he would be able to easily collect. And Rabbah Bar Ula would do some sort of harama. He would do a little bit of subterfuge. What exactly would he do? So from the Gemara, it's not particularly clear. From Rashi, L'Ach Yontif, Lokech Mimenu Shum Chefetz U'me'akvo. After Yontif, the lender goes over to the bar and says, look, can I, do me a favor, can I just borrow, can I borrow some wine? And fine, and he takes the wine, and then he says, okay, good, thank you very much, and that will be called now payment for the loan. Okay, a little bit strange, but Tosfos points out that really these practices were not necessary because the halacha is like Rabbah. The loans that are created on Yontif are in fact enforceable. You can take the person to Beis Din, and the way Tosfos explains it, they're just simply being machmer for themselves. But in principle, these loans are in fact enforceable. Yes.
So
Correct. The chain erev Pesach, Amar of Yochanan Makdish Adam Pitzchah B'Shabbes VeChagigaso B'Yom Tov. Now, interesting discussion, really not related to our discussion of commerce and loans on Yom Tov and on Shabbos. But here's the story: Erev Shabbos falls out on Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, which means that now we are going to have to shech the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. Okay, it's the 14th day of Nisan, so that's the prescribed time. I forgot before Shabbos to acquire my lamb. So what do? So the Mishnah says, you go to your local shepherd, and you say, right, I'll take one lamb. Good. And the Mishnah's point is, do it, and then obviously now you've created a loan, you've incurred now a loan, and you're on the hook to pay after Shabbos and after Yontif for the lamb that you purchased. So far, so good. When exactly are you going to be makdish the animal? Well, the answer is very obvious. If you're buying it for the first time on Shabbos, so it obviously means you're being makdish it right now. The conclusion seems to be pretty sound. You're being makdish the animal on Shabbos and on Yontif. Generally speaking, as we're about to learn a little bit later on, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. So Rav Yochanan arrives at the conclusion that a person can be makdish his carbon Pesach on Shabbos, and oh, by the way, the Chagiga on Yontif as well. Now, name him Messiah Levechain Erev Pesach Mishalim Shechalios B'Shabbos Maniach Taliso Atzlamanatos Bischo V'Osei Mochesh Malacha Yontif. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah seems to be very good evidence that Rav Yochanan's position is correct, that you can be makdish an animal on Shabbos. Hach b'maiskin b'memana acherim imoa pischo dimikara mikdash v'kai. So the Gemara says, well, maybe our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where you are joining somebody whose Karban Pesach has already been sanctified before Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can't register with a Karban Pesach on Yontif. So Shaniacha came and Deragal Atzlo came on the Imne Meimi Karadame. The Gemara says, yeah, but we've been doing this for years. Meaning, I've been joining your Chabur for years, so before Shabbos, before Yontif, truth be told, is he already had me in mind. So this isn't a real registration, because this isn't the first time that I joined him for Karban Pesach. We've been doing this for years. Before Shabbos, before Yontif, he really had me in mind, and it's just a formality that I went over to him and said, hey, let me join you. V'hatzini Rabbi Yoshia Holechad Amitzarol Aragel Etzlov Enosin Lo Tlev L'Pischo U'makdisho V'yotzei Bo. We have another brisa that again gives pretty good indication that you can be makdish the animal for the first time on Shabbos. Hasam Nami Kevin Deragel Etzlov Akdushalei Mikara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the shepherd was expecting him to come. And because the shepherd was expecting him to come, the shepherd before Shabbos already was makdish the animal. Okay, a little bit difficult, a little bit tricky, because only the owner of the animal can be makdish the animal. Okay.
Does this mean that if the shepherd does that for the mother, cannot do the same for the child that same day?
That's another point, but okay. V'hamakdish ketani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when you read the Brisa actually says that he's actively being makdish it on Shabbos. So hektish ilui midrabanan. So the Gemara says, not investing it with hektish for the first time, but a extra degree of hektish. What exactly that means, not particularly sure, but the point being is that it was already mukdash before Shabbos. The Gemara tells us again that according to Rav Yochanan, the halacha falls like a stam mishnah. Utanan lo makdishim lo marichim lo machrim and lo magbim trumos and maestros kol elu b'yomtov amru kavachomer b'Shabbos. We have a mishnah that says point blank that you cannot be makdish anything on Shabbos. That's a stam mishnah. Rav Yochanan always sides with the stam mishnah. Lo kasha kan bechova shekavulam zman kan bechova shein kavulam zman. And the Gemara answers very simply. If there is no reason why I have to be makdish this animal today, so that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can't be makdish. However, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, today now is the 14th day of Nisan, I need to bring the Karban Pesach today. So Rav Yochanan says you need to bring the Karban Pesach today. You're makdish an animal today. Okay, so the last discussion of the daf was A, are loans that are incurred on Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? Loans which are legitimate, loans that you're allowed to make on Shabbos and Yom Tov, are they enforceable in Beis Din? We have a machlokes between Rabban and Rav Yosef. The Gemara does not come to a clear conclusion of which one is the accepted halachic viewpoint. Tosus points out that the halacha follows like Rava. Rambam seems to go that way as well. Therefore, loans are in fact enforceable and collectible and based in after Yom Tov. And then we learned the Mishnah in Shvius, and we learned the Mishnah in Psachim vis-a-vis the collection of the enforceability of a loan. And as the Gemara pointed out, if you want to avoid the whole based in scenario, just simply take a collateral, and that'll circumvent the whole need to go to based in. Mona adam es orchav es papir osav mipiv av alom neksav. You have a big Shabbos lunch coming up. A lot of people are coming. And so what you did is you made a list of people that are coming. And so now you set the table and you're looking at your list. And now basically you're doing an accounting. The problem is that you have a list right in front of you. And then you get a tap on the shoulder. Oh, you know he's not coming. And so on Shabbos, you're going to be very tempted to erase the list. Or somebody comes over and says, you know, I just heard that this person's coming, and you're tempted to write on the list. So much like the first Mishnah in our Masecht and our Perek was a concern about writing, this Mishnah continues with rabbinic concerns about writing. So a person can count his guests and his desserts, mi piv, meaning you could do it verbally, orally, avalom and aksav, but don't look at the list. You have to do everything on Shabbos by heart. A person can cast lottery at the table to see who's going to get what. I know we live in a day and age where food is available, and you never think about, you know, apportioning your Shabbos food. But if the amount of food is limited, and the meat people at the table are also obviously a finite number, so we're going to determine who's going to get how much. And the Mishnah says that what you're allowed to do is actually have a lottery at the table. What an exciting lunch that would be. Where lots are cast to see who's going to get what portion. But what you cannot do is start bartering plate for plate. Oh, that plate looks good. I'll swap my plate for your plate. So the Mishnah says that you can't do. However, matil chalashin alakadashim yom tov avalo alamanos. In the Beis HaMikdash, what Kohanim can do is that Kohanim can make a lottery over the hektish that's being apportioned out to the Kohanim, but not over manos. What that is, we'll have to see as we go through the Gemara. We start with the Gemara. One kuf mem tesam ad alav ma'itam rabbi bi amar gzereshem yimchol kabayim amar gzereshem yikari b'shtari hegyotos. There are two separate reasons why the Mishnah says that you cannot look at your list on Shabbos to see the invite list and to go over the invite list from an actual piece of paper. So one explanation the Gemara says, Rabibi, is that I may come to erase, because I hear he's not coming. And Abaye says, well, if I start reading this piece of paper, I'm then going to go into my office and I'm going to start looking, going over my account receivables on Shabbos, and I'll be looking at Shtari Hegyotos. Now, the reason that Abaye explains is an interesting one, because looking at your account receivables in of itself is only an Isser Derabanan. So in other words, it sounds like we're entering into the world of double Derabanan, where I can't read my invite list, because then I may come to read my account receivable, which in of itself is a double Derabanan.
Isn't erasing sort of like destroying it, unless you intend to write?
Right, right. If it's that's a good point. If you're mochek but not with any intent to write, so then that also only reduces it to an Issa Derabanan. So truth of the matter is, it's a very good point. The truth of the matter is, they're both operating on a Din Derabanan. Okay, and that's an issue, by the way. The Gemara is not going to raise this as a question. It's definitely an issue, how basically it's a Derabanan to safeguard another Derabanan. Oh, and I'm not sweeping it under the rug, but I'm just telling you it's not up for the Gemara's discussion. I'd venture to guess that Rishonim, no Rishonim on the page, but I'm sure the Rishonim address it. I'm guessing they do. So my midlay. So the Gemara says, now practically speaking, is there a difference between these two positions? Yeah, sure. What if I wrote on the list and like hung it up really high in my house? So I can't reach it. So now, by the way, that's just very strange, because When, well, first of all, I guess it's written very large, but when people come in now, they get to see the list on the top of the page. But anyway, on the top of the wall. But anyway, Laman Damar Shemi Yimchok Lo Chayshina. Now, if you're worried about erasing, well, you can't reach it. Laman Damar Shemi Yikare Chayshina. Now, if we're worried about, if I start reading this, I'm going to start reading my account record in my house. So then, still an issue. So first of all, okay, are these two issues mutually exclusive? Asked the Gemara. And furthermore, we also go back to the second parak of Shabbos. That's a long time ago. Right, nearly a half a year ago. I know it's crazy, but yeah. And over there, the Gemara taught us that you can't read to the light of the Shabbos licht, and even if you can't reach the Shabbos licht, you can't read because remember Shema Yate, you might turn, you might need more illumination. You're going to tilt the lamp; it's going to provide more illumination. Once the rabbis made a gzera, that's it. You cannot read by the light of the Shabbos licht. Here also, once the Chachamim make a gzera, we don't start differentiating. Well, if I can't reach the list, we don't do that. Eleika benau de kasav akosol umitate. So the Gemara suggests, okay, perhaps the difference would be where I write it directly on the wall. So laman damashem yimchol chayshin, laman damashem yikar lo chayshinan, guda b'shtar lo mechlef. So the Gemara says, if I write it directly on the wall, so look, I'm reading off my wall right now. So you're going to tell me that my next step is going to be, I'm going to be reading off pieces of paper? I understand. I can make a very easy distinction between reading off the wall of my house versus reading off a piece of paper. Writing on your wall in your house is strange, but the Gemara says that would be a practical difference. Shemi yikari lecho, shemi yimchok. I'm sorry. Ulaman damar shemi yikari lecho, shemi yimchok. Lecho, shemi yimchok. Again, the Gemara wonders, are these reasons mutually exclusive? So the Gemara says, well, maybe the practical difference would be where I carved it into my tablet. So in other words, I didn't write it on the wall, I wrote it on a tablet, but I carved it in there, not with ink. So it's very hard to erase that, as it's not ink. And again, it's a very bizarre Gemara, because basically the Gemara just keeps acknowledging again and again, these reasons aren't mutually exclusive, and then the Gemara keeps looking for an afkamina. It's a little bit of a frustrating Gemara, but this is essentially how the Gemara is working out. V'chitem etavlo pinchas b'shtar lo mechlef. V'hatanya mona adam kama mibifnim v'kama mibichutz v'kama manos asid lahanich lefneihem. Michtav sha'agabe akosol avalo michtav sha'agabe tavlo upinchas. So the Gemara says that I can write the list on the wall, just not on a ledger. Now, hey chidam ilam etikasiv michtav maishna. Now, what does it mean, write it on the wall? If I wrote it with ink, it's erasable. Aren't we worried you're going to erase? It must be that I etched it on the wall of the house. So now, follow. We're carving the invite list of the people on the wall of the house. And that means then that if I carve on the wall, fine. Because now, zero concern. Meaning erasing, it's not erasable. Reading my account receivables, well, I know the difference between a wall and my book of account receivables. So the Gemara says, well, it could be that I wrote on the wall, I wrote it with ink, I wrote it really high up. Now the Gemara says, when we first presented this as a suggestion, the Gemara immediately rejected, because when the Chachamim make a gzera derabanan, make a difference whether I can reach it versus whether I can't reach it. What about what we learned in the second paragraph of Shabbos? The Rabba Tanai, the Gemara says, this position of Rabba, controversial, debated. The Tanya Mona Adam Esar Chosaves Parparasav Mipiva Volam Neksav, Rabbi Acha Matir Niksav Shalgabi Kosel. You write the list on the wall, according to Rabbi Acha, it's fine. Now, now, if it's within reach, aren't we worried you're going to erase? And I love the cost of umidle. So it must be that I wrote on the wall. It's high up on the wall. What about the fact that we don't differentiate? That is subject to a machlokas tanayim. Whether or not by Yisuri Durabanan, we make differentiations whether I can reach it versus I can't reach it. Okay? Quick summary. Gemara is a little complicated because Gemara keeps pointing out the two reasons are not mutually exclusive, but quick summary. You can't start counting the people who are invited to your table for Shabbos from a list. And there are two concerns. Number one, I may come to erase the name because I hear he's not coming. Or two, is that if I start reading this, I'm going to start reading other business documents which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. The Gemara points out that these two reasons are not mutually exclusive. They are two valid reasons why the rabbis made such a gzeira. And the Gemara suggested that if we can create a scenario where neither concern isn't operating, so then it would be fine. One of those scenarios would be carving it on the wall of your house. Strange scenario, but that would be one where both reasons would not apply. Vahani tanai kahani tanai ditanya. The Gemara notes another Mishnah that describes also this idea that by Isuri Durabban we do not differentiate. Ein ron b'mara b'Shabbos, you don't look in a mirror on Shabbos. Now the Gemara elsewhere says that for in general men shouldn't look in a mirror, right? It may fall under the Isser of Klei Isha, but here though on Shabbos there's another concern. What's the concern? You look in the mirror and you see your hair is all over the place, so you may be tempted to cut it on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir Mati b'mara kavu b'koso. Rabbi Meir says if the mirror is fixed to the wall, so solidified to the wall, so then it's fine. Maishna kavu b'koto da adahachi v'hachi mitkar. Sheina kavu nami adahachi v'hachi mitkar. Now the Gemara says, I don't understand what's the difference. What's the difference? Wherever the mirror is, aren't we afraid that I'm going to lose myself in the mirror? See that there's a hair out of place, be tempted to cut it. So Hacha b'Amar Shema Teches Askina and Kedrav Nachman Amar Rava Baravu Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rava Baravu Mine Ma Amru Mar Shema Teches Asura. We're not talking about a glass mirror. We're talking about a metal mirror with sharp edges. Because with a metal mirror, what I'm tempted to do is that I have the mirror right in my hand. The mirror both shows my reflection and is really sharp. So in one split second, I can both see myself and, if necessary, cut the hair that I just noticed is totally out of place. So what do you see over here? That even on Isuri Durabanan, we make differentiation between glass mirror, metal mirror, so it is subject to a debate whether or not by Isuri Durabanan there's any type of differentiation. Interesting, we're talking now about pictures with captions underneath. Can't read the captions on Shabbos, says the Mishnah. Comics. Sorry, Brisa. Yeah, basically, I mean comics, but I'll get onto comics in just a second. So, can't read the caption on Shabbos. And the fear is that once I start reading the captions, I'm going to then move on to reading other documents. What about the actual artwork itself? No, you can't look at that even during the week. Anything that comes up from the mind, meaning art, which is conjured up from the mind, so you cannot look at that. Our Gemara just, very subtly, just basically outlawed art. Right? You notice that, right? In other words, on Shabbos you can't read the caption, and during the week you can't even look at the art. So it is a little bit strange. That was sneaky on the part of the Gemara, meaning it just... Okay. It was like a given. Like, you can't look at art. Now, Tosos, to be fair, and to try to give a little context to all this. So Tosus writes, not art for art's sake, but the art was made for the purposes of idolatry. Amar avalanoi, but if it's just simply art for aesthetic nature, mutter. So Tosus says that's fine. Kidemashma The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that very holy people, when I say very holy people, I mean people that were above the normal standard of religiosity, so they wouldn't look at the minting of a coin. So, okay, but good. But in other words, good. Those are very holy people. But for the rest of us, it's okay to look at the image on a coin. So in other words, art just made for the sake of art, for aesthetic purposes, that's not what our Gemara is talking about, so says Tosfos.
Maybe in their times, the minting was like a form of Avodah Zarah.
Right. There is that possibility. Mefis Adam im banav, im b'nei beis, in v'imachir lo, my taima. So the Gemara says, now you can cast lottery on Shabbos at the table in order to portion out the food, but only with family members. So the Gemara wants to know why, if you don't have family members, no? So the Gemara's response is, that's correct. Over mishum mida, o mishum mishkal, o mishum minyan, o mishum lovin, o purim biyom tov. Because if it's not family, and if it's outsiders, and we start now bartering my food versus your food, so what's going to end up happening is, we're going to take out the scale. We're going to start weighing. Right? How much does this weigh? We're going to take out the measure. We're going to take out a ruler.
This is contrary to the whole idea that Balabit is supposed to cut the colleges and cut generous portions.
Correct. But if we're actually they're swapping out, what's going to end up happening is we're going to be violating these Isuri Durabanan of measuring. So the Gemara says, Uchedivrei Hillel, right? Just a small modification. Uchedivrei Hillel, Af Mishum Ribbis, and also there's going to be issues of Ribbis as well, like we discussed in yesterday's daf, which is that if I start now exchanging commodities, so you always worry about the price fluctuation of commodities, and I may end up giving you more than what I actually took, and that'll be a violation of Ribbis, at least according to Hillel. So the Gemara says, if you're talking about Ribbis as a possible concern, so what difference does it make if they're family members or non-family members? You mean to tell me that for family members you can lend with interest? So listen to this answer. You're going to be surprised by this answer. You can lend to family members with interest just to give them the taste of interest. Now, there's an important Rashi over here. Rashi writes, "Banu v'nei beiso hasmuchin al shulchano dehekeven dakol mishlo enkan ribis." Meaning, you have a son, right? You're head of household. You're the breadwinner. He gets money from you, but it's your money. In other words, you're really supporting him. So when you're lending him, you're not really lending him. Meaning, it's your money, and he understands that as well. But for educational purposes, what you can do is you can, quote, loan him money, you can charge interest, you're not violating the Isser because it's not really a loan, but now on the $100 you're demanding from him that he gave you 120 back, that was rude of me, right? 20%? So yeah, that was rough. But you can do that in order to give him the taste of interest so that he learns now, that's not nice. Right. Paying back with interest is unpleasant. And so now from this point going forward, he goes in life knowing what it's like to be charged interest. It'll make him think twice before lending with interest. So, So then the Gemara says, okay, but swapping large for small, so the Gemara says, all right, there's a little, we got to add a little bit to the Mishnah. Mefis adamim banavim b'nei beis ala shochan afilo mana gedola keneged mana katana. A person can do exchanges, even large for small. My time could Rav Yehuda Merav, im banavim b'nei beis in im achim lo. And the reason why is because, as we just got done saying, that you can charge with interest family members, again, according to Rashi, those that are supported by you, to just teach them, to educate them about how unpleasant it is to charge with interest. My time, I'm sorry. Kedrav Yehuda Marav. Im banav im neis beiso im in acherim lo. My time Kedrav Yehuda Mishmuel. Mani gedola keneged mani ketana af bechol acherim aser. My time mishum kovya. And creating basically a lottery base, basically
teaching,
gambling over who's going to get what, basically creating a game, which really results in gambling, so that you can't do in general, not even during the week, because of kuvya, because that is tantamount to gambling, and gambling, of course, is forbidden. Absolutely forbidden, by the way. I don't want to give the impression that it's absolutely forbidden, but it could very well be stealing. The Gemara Sanhedrin, third parak, is where you want to go to see that discussion. Matilin chaloshin al. My ava lo al hamanos. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Bered Debas Yaakov, ava lo al hamanos shechol b'yomtov. When the Mishnah talks about the Kohanim, look, Kohanim, they're a difficult bunch. No offense meant, so no offense therefore is going to be taken. So they're a difficult bunch. They could be a little hard to deal with. And so therefore, says the Mishnah, on Shabbos, all the karbanos that are being apportioned on Shabbos has to be done through a lottery, otherwise they're going to be fighting. And what you could have argued is that, let's say we're dividing not Shabbos's karbanos, but weekday karbanos, which for whatever reason is here on Shabbos. I mean, usually it's no, sir, but okay, but it's here on Shabbos. So can I do that? So you might have thought, yes. What our Mishnah is telling us is that you can't do. Because you can only, this allowance to do a lottery and to allocate with lottery is only for the Shabbos Karbanos. I might have thought, because the Kohanim are so quarrelsome, that I might have allowed even the weekday Karbanos to be divided amongst the Kohanim with a lottery on Shabbos. So, in order to avoid fighting amongst the Kohanim, so that's the Havamina, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us, is that no. V'amar Rav Yaakov b'Rei d'Bas Yaakov chol shechaver nena shal yado ein machnisen oso b'mechitza so shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm just going to go 2 more minutes, and then I will end. The Gemara introduces us to a little bit of Agadah to end off today's daf. If you are responsible for somebody else's onesh, meaning you didn't do the sin, but basically you aided and abetted somebody else doing a sin, so you don't get entrance into the walls of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Minalan, how do I know that? Ilema Mishim Dechsev, Ayyam Hashem, Miyifta Es Achav.
I'm going to begin about 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah. I just probably wait for the Hollywood bus for a change.
I said 2 minutes, he says 3. Okay, I like his answer better. Vayomer Hashem, Miyifta Es Achav, Ayyal, Vayipo, Beramos Gilad, Vayomer Zebachol. So apparently there was a ruach, there was a spirit that was not allowed entrance into the mechitza social HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we're in Agadata, so needless to say, I don't know exactly what we mean by this, but obviously, it means that he does not get a certain pass to access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is this ruach? Am Rav Yochanan, is the ruach shel Navos, the spirit of Navos. Now, Navos, what was he responsible for? Neighbor of Izevel and Achav. And Achav and Izevel, right, wanted his field. He didn't relinquish. They ended up killing him. And so, in other words, right, he himself wasn't the chote, but responsible for somebody else's chait. He's not allowed a certain entrance. Might say, "I'm Rav, stay me mechitzasi." V'ildum ha'asam ha'inu dechsev dover shkarim lo yikon. So the Gemara says, maybe over there, Navos was not allowed entrance for another reason, and that is because dover shkarim, anyone who speaks falsity, does not allow entrance. Elamei acha. Savata kalon mi kavod sheze gamatol veha'arel. So the Gemara now wants to know, where do we see that if you cause somebody else to sin, even though you yourself didn't sin, where do we see that you're not allowed entrance into mechitzas v'shal Kadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara goes elsewhere in Tanakh, specifically to Nevuchadnezzar. The pasuk over here describes Savata Kalomi Kavod Shesei Gamatova Ha'arel. The Gemara refers to Nebuchadnezzar as the Arel. Hopefully, I will spare Stuart the need to have to explain this Gemara tomorrow. Although Stuart, I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But Savata Kalomi Kavod Zeh Nebuchadnezzar Shesei Gamatova Ha'arel Zeh Tzidkio. Now Tzidkio, who was the last ruling king of Yehuda, I mean there were a couple after him, but for our purposes, let's call him the last, who was basically, how do I say this? Who was basically used by Nebuchadnezzar for sodomy, for purposes of sodomy, and so therefore the Gemara now is assuming that Tzidkio was not allowed entrance into the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he caused Nebuchadnezzar to sin. So, Chada Dekulei Krab Nebuchadnezzar Ksiv. So first of all, the Gemara says, I don't believe that's so. First of all, the entire pasuk that we just quoted is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. V'od Tzidkiyahu Tzidkayah, my Havala Me'evilei. And also, Tzidkiyahu at that point in time was an ones. He was forced, he was coerced. So the Gemara says, you can't fault him at all, not even preventing him from going into the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Darmar of Yehuda Amar Rabbi Shasha Bikesh Osa Rosh Lasso Osa Osa Tzadikach, because as we're going to see in just a moment, he was a total, he was totally anus. The Gemara later on will explain. Elamei Hacha, so finally, the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that when you cause somebody else to sin, you don't gain access into the Mechitza? Gaman Osh Latzadik Lo Tov Ein Lo Tov El Ra. Uksav ki kel chafetz rasha ata lo yagurcha ra. Tzadik ata Hashem v'lo yagur b'megurcha ra. Mayim mashma da'ay chala, I'm sorry, b'megurcha ra. So finally the Gemara quotes a pasuk, which is that if you are the cause of somebody else's sin, even though you yourself are not the one who sinned, you're not allowed entrance into the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. All right, so today we are finishing up the discussion of we finished off the discussion of collecting an enforceable loan. We then moved on to reading your invite list on Shabbos, where the Mishnah says you cannot do that for two reasons, says the Gemara. One is for fear that I may come to a race. Second would be for fear I may read other business documents. And then the Gemara had a very interesting discussion about do we differentiate by Yisuri Derabbanan? And then we had a discussion today about charging interest to your family members, which interestingly enough you can, says our Gemara. And then we end off today with a little bit of Agarata regarding causing other people to sin. Okay, I'll stop over here, continue to Refuah Shlema, for Binyamin Zeva Cohen Ben Sharon Rivka, for the Falzak Avram Ben Yakira Avigail.